Welcome to episode 16 of All Us Geeks. I'm Jeff King.
I'm Michael Jordal.
And I'm Jordan Steinhoff.
And we're here to give voice to your inner geek. I'm going to talk about a contest, and then, well, I'll talk about the contest, and then a contest.
There was a contest?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't remember that.
So, you lazy, lazy bastards.
Sarah's disqualified, so...
Nobody entered the audio promo contest, so nobody wanted their pick of... They could have picked anything we had. Nope. Didn't happen. That's fine. That's okay. We spent hours doing this for you guys. You couldn't give us 30 seconds. That's all right. But we're going to kick off another contest. This one's easy. Basically, send us an email at podcast@allusgeeks.com with the subject line, I want the plague. We're giving away a signed copy of the Plague card game, or Plague the card game. It's signed by Jason Glover. So we are going to give a copy of that away. It started off on the Game Crafter. You can actually still get the first edition version of it off of the Game Crafter. But he did a Kickstarter for this. It was recently done, and it was successful. And we've got a signed copy that also includes I think it's called the Plague Rat. That's a Kickstarter exclusive card that's in there as well. All you got to do to get a entry is send us an email at podcast@allusgeeks.com. And with the subject line, I want the plague.
That shouldn't be too difficult.
That's a rough one.
I'd enter that contest. I probably wouldn't have entered the other one.
I've left longer voicemails than 30 seconds, so... I'm sure we can get at least one email from somebody not in a relationship with one of the hosts.
Should enter right now.
Yeah. Hosts and family of hosts are disqualified. All right, we've got a guest with us tonight. We've got JT Smith from the Game Crafter. How you doing, JT?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Glad to finally get you on. Finally get the schedules worked out and all that good stuff.
Yeah, sorry about that. I've been looking forward to this.
It's on my end, too. We talked about that earlier. For those who don't know, you can go to an earlier episode. We actually did a segment on the Game Crafter. One of our early episodes, like one or two, between one and three. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. We focused on the Game Crafter at that time. And if you've listened for a while, obviously we review games off and on from the Game Crafter. So I thought it'd be good to have JT on and give us a better rundown than we could ever possibly do about the Game Crafter, since he's the man on the mission when it comes to the Game Crafter. So to start off, let's just talk about maybe like the beginning a little bit, JT. So you guys formed in 2009, right?
Well, the Game Crafter itself has actually been around since 2001, but back then it was just a publishing vehicle for my own games. So in July of 2009, we released the version that people see today, which would be publishing other people's games. So we kind of launched a new revolution called Web to Print, which basically people upload their game components through our website, order copies of their games, and they get a physical copy in the mail about a week later without having to interact with any humans, keeping the price very low, and getting a professional quality prototype very, very quickly.
And it's grown to a point where while you can get a good looking prototype, there are quite a few of your customers that are actually using it to sell their games as is at this time, correct?
Oh, yeah. We have nearly 17,000 games in our library, and about 1,100 of them have chosen to publish their game to our online store. And we sell several hundred games a day off of our site now to customers all over the world. It's definitely growing, and a lot of people are experiencing some pretty good success with indie projects on our site. Some of them are having outright success just selling their game directly to our customers, and then others find other types of success, either eventually going to a Kickstarter campaign or being picked up by a traditional publisher.
Recently, one of the successful Kickstarter campaigns would be Plague the Card Game.
Yeah.
And then, of course, one of the ones that's probably well known was Flashpoint Fire Rescue, started off as a prototype on the Game Crafter as well.
Absolutely. That was a great game.
Oh, and Salmon Run just recently was successful as well, and I guess that was beta tested a bit through the Game Crafter as well under a different name.
Yeah, there's a lot of games actually that never make it out to our shop. They're just the prototypes are go through our site, the beta test copies that are shipped out to all of the playtesters around the world go through our site. And for that matter, a lot of the larger game publishers are now using us as their prototyping service, because instead of paying the $200 a copy that they used to pay for prototypes to ship out to playtesters, now they're paying, you know, $20 to $50 a copy. So depending on the complexity of the game that they're trying to put out.
I think Michael and I first met, actually you, at OshCon. Like, early on.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was in 2009, our first year doing the public service that we do now. We were hitting up basically every con that was in driving distance. So that year, I think we did 15, maybe 20 cons. It was a lot. But OshCon was certainly a great con, and it was good to meet a lot of great faces there that are now part of our community, including you guys.
Yeah, I think for the first year, almost every game I bought from the Game Crafter was at a con. I never used the online site because I was always running into you guys at cons.
Yeah. Awesome. We appreciate it that you guys got us started, really.
JT, I know you're not alone. You want to talk about your partners a little bit and their contribution to the Game Crafter?
Absolutely. So I'm basically fill the role of maker. What that means is I'm the guy behind the technology of the Game Crafter. So I write the software that does the website. I work out the machines and processes that we need to actually produce this stuff. I help program the robots that we use to cut things, that sort of thing. My other partners are not on the technology side, but actually logistics and marketing. So Jamie Verbsky is in charge of logistics. So he takes care of the day-to-day operation of the Game Crafter, hiring employees, making sure that we have enough inventory, paper, game pieces, that sort of thing, working out deals with manufacturers around the world so that we can stock various types of game components, and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. He also takes care of all the financials and lots of paper pushing, unfortunately, for him. But that keeps that off of me, which I love. And and then Tavis Parker is the other partner, and he's in charge of our marketing efforts. So he basically arranges for us to go to various conventions. He's always out doing all kinds of search engine work, SEO work, to make sure that our keywords are coming up good in Google and Bing and all of that kind of stuff. He's in charge of all of our social media aspects. So he's, you know, on Facebook all the time, interacting with our fans on Twitter all the time, and curating the videos that we have out on YouTube. So he's out doing all of that kind of stuff. Basically, those two guys free me up to keep working on the technology side so that we can keep adding more and more components, because really that's what it comes back to. Game designers want more components so that they can make more creative games. And of course, customers love that as well, because they just don't want to get the same deck of cards every time. They want to get, you know, new components, new game boards, tiles, that sort of thing.
Right. And you guys are constantly adding new services and kind of hit the year running with like almost like a new service a week for a while there. Yep. But on average, I mean, how many things in the background are you working on or contemplating about whether or not it's good enough to make it onto the site itself?
That's hard to say. Our goal is to average, well, originally at the beginning of the year, our goal was to average putting out one new thing per week, whether that was a site feature or a new part added to the shop or a new printable component, that sort of thing. Over the summer with convention season and everything, we got a little bit behind on that, so we didn't put one out every week. But we're making up ground now. We're putting out between 2 and 3 a week, new features, printable components, parts, that sort of thing. Right now, we have everything queued up through the end of January. So we already have at least 2 new features or components or printables that will come out every week between now and the end of January. We also are constantly considering other kinds of components, basically almost completely from features and feedback that we're getting from our community. So we're always trolling our forums, looking for that next great idea. What is the thing that the community in general is looking for, whether it's another size of a tile or something completely new that we have never done before? The vintage parts that we started adding recently is a great example of that. People were saying, wow, you know, Risk has all these great little pieces. Wouldn't it be awesome if the Game Crafter started carrying Risk components? And now we have several varieties of Risk components in our shop, including like the Lord of the Rings Risk, for example.
Now, are you able to advertise those as, you know, Lord of the Rings Risk components, or are they kind of generified as Star General for Conquest game?
They are advertised as Risk components. They are advertised as vintage used components. You know, this is not, we're not pushing this off as our own component. We actually had to do quite a bit of legal work to make sure that there was no kind of legal complication for selling these kind of components. But it turns out my attorney actually put it in the most succinct manner possible. You know, if you buy a Ford, there's nothing stopping you from selling that Ford on Craigslist, for example, and using the word Ford when you're trying to describe selling it. So basically, as long as we're keeping it as its original intact component and we're not trying to push it off as something else, we are within our rights to basically sell it as a Risk component.
You guys have also recently gone into a direction that I know customers have been asking for quite a while, and that's the chipboards, so the counters and tiles type stuff. How is that going so far? I mean, I know a lot of people have always asked for it, but what are you seeing on the back end? Are they getting used as much as you thought they would when you added them? Or
yeah, well, it all started really last year, right at the end of the year, just before Christmas. We added our first foldable game board, which is the first thing we made out of chipboard. And at first, we weren't sure. You know, it's fairly expensive to manufacture out of that thick material like that. So at first we weren't sure whether there would be much of an uptake. But very quickly, you know, we sold several hundred boards within the first month or two. And so we knew that that was something the community wanted. And of course, you know, they had been clamoring for tiles and chits ever since we have launched the site. So we started working on the process of developing that sort of thing. And we kept running into one issue after another with, you know, getting registration correct or getting the tiles to punch out the way you want. There are, of course, you know, machines that are designed to do this, but they're designed to do it on an industrial scale, you know, 10,000 boards at a time, that sort of thing. For everything that we do at the Game Crafter, we pretty much have to reinvent equipment to make this stuff work, because there isn't a lot of equipment out there designed to do the kinds of things that we're doing on a one-off basis, at least not in an automated fashion. That's really the key to our business. In order to keep it relatively inexpensive, it needs to be mostly automated. Anyway, so we finally worked out all of that, but it took us quite a while. And so about 2 months ago, maybe a month and a half ago, we finally released our first set of tiles. And at first, sales were very lackluster. We were relatively surprised by it, because typically, every time we release something, within 24 hours, someone has designed a new game that is using that component or redone one of their existing games to use that component and bought it. With tiles, it actually took about a week before we started getting orders. But it turns out people were just taken aback. They didn't think we were ever going to get around to it. So now that they've been out for a while, we're getting lots of orders of tiles. And people are really excited about the fact that we're putting out, and we're getting lots of feedback about, you know, could you have this size, have this shape, that sort of thing. So people are definitely interested in them. They're finally, you know, they're taking off. People are starting to put them in games. We're shipping out several games a day now with tiles in them. And so we're pleased with the uptake of them. And we're definitely working on additional tile sizes for the near future.
Awesome. With that and with some of the other success you've had, I mean, you guys have recently been able to, you've relocated to a new location, you've replaced equipment, and of course, all along, you've also added new features to the website, not only components and stuff, but like the status indicator for people to check on how the queue's doing and all that good stuff. How's the new location and all that stuff going for you guys?
The new location is great. We quadrupled the amount of space that we had moving from the old location to the new location. And it's amazing how quickly you can fill up space when you have it. It's going great. Our staff you know, they're used to the new space now, and we're actually able to be a lot more efficient than we used to be. Before, you know, the space was so cramped with all the equipment and everything in there that, you know, we were tripping over each other, and now there's enough space for everybody to move around safely and quickly. And so that's been really good. Also, the new space opened up a new opportunity that our local fans have been clamoring for, which is will call. They wanted to always be able to come down and, you know, actually pick up their game in person rather than having it shipped to them. I remember one of our customers recounting to me in an email that it was so sad that he would watch his order through our shipping system. It would go to Milwaukee first and come back. And it was weird. You know, I live, you know, a few blocks from you, but I can't come pick it up. The old facility, we were inside of a large building and we didn't have an outside door access without a key card. So it was really impossible for people to come pick up stuff. But with the new facility, we are the only thing in that building. So people stop by all the time. And with that, it spawned additional things too. People stop by now. We have our 8-foot robot Cog. He's our mascot. He's standing up in the front door area and people come by to take photographs with him. We also have samples of all of our components sitting out on a table. So a lot of people just stop by to check out those components. You know, they want to actually feel the tiles in their hand. Are they as thick as they thought they would be? And how does the foldable inboard look? And how about these new RISC components or some other kind of game piece? How does that feel? How does that look? How is it sized relative to this other component that they're contemplating using? So it's been really exciting to be able to, on a daily basis, interact with the local community as a result of having this new facility.
Excellent. I know in general, you tend not to talk about what's coming up and all that good stuff until you're absolutely ready to put it out. Although I also do know, JT, that you like to break your own rule as well. So I've been in the room when you've told one person, we don't talk about stuff, and then you turn around and go, guys, you want to hear something really cool before anybody else hears it? I love how excited you get about some of the stuff you guys are doing. But in a general overview, I mean, what do you see for the next year for the Game Crafter in general?
I should probably first address the rule, you know, why we have it and also why we break it on occasion, or why I break it. The reason we have the rule is simply because until final testing is done, we never know for sure that we're going to release something in the form that we're planning. Most of the components, the printable components, this is, the game parts are a different story, but the printable components that are on the site generally go through a development period of about 2.5 months. So we're actually working with them, printing them, cutting them, and in general, trying out different techniques and on also different software, you know, as far as stitching and things like that go, for a couple of months before anybody ever actually sees it on the website. And we do this to make sure that we aren't delivering an inferior product. This is the same that goes with that story I was relating earlier with tiles. We tried, you know, half a dozen different cutting methods before we got to something that was up to par. And so the reason we don't talk about things before we release them is simply because we don't actually know whether or not we can release this thing ever. Because if it doesn't pass quality standards, it's just not going to come out. And so we really hate to get people's hopes up or to be labeled vaporware or something like that. You know, there are a lot of companies that overpromise and underdeliver, and we don't want to be that company. So that's why we have the rule. The reason I occasionally break it is because, one, it's very exciting to be working on these new things. I mean, it's hard to contain myself sometimes. But really, the more important thing is that sometimes I just need community feedback in order to know for sure whether we're ready to release certain components. So, for example, for about a month, month and a half leading up to the final release of tiles, I was in the chat rooms several different times asking very pointed questions about tiles, basically giving away the fact that we were going to be releasing tiles and, you know, in fairly short order, just because I needed to get everything right about the sizes that people were interested in, the pricing that they'd be willing to pay, and more importantly, whether or not the costs that we had worked out were even within the ballpark of what people were interested in paying for those components. So, you know, occasionally it's just really required to break that rule. As of late, I've been doing less of that breaking the rule. Instead, I've been doing private sessions with people. I'll chat with them or email them individually, but not do it on a public forum or a public chat room.
Well, we only have like two listeners, so is there anything you can share with us that's coming up? That's almost like being public private.
Oh, we have one listener because I didn't do horror headlines last
week. That's right.
I can give you a couple of tips. I can't say specifically, you know, sizes, but I can tell you that we're working on some very exciting mat types, not your typical ordinary squares, but stuff that is very shapely, very cool, that you would see in fantasy flight style games, that sort of thing. We are working on a bunch of new tiles. We have a few new box designs. We've actually, over the last couple of months, I've been prototyping out somewhere in the 20 range of different styles of packaging to see exactly what the next type of packaging is that we should release. And my desk is just loaded with all these different types of packaging. So we're not quite ready to release that, but we're getting closer to having some really exciting new packaging options.
You're doing that to shut me up again, aren't you?
So, no, really, there are a lot of people that really want other types of packaging. They're not satisfied with the dozen or so boxes that we have out, which I understand. You know, you don't want a box that's too big or too small for your game. You want one that's, you know, in that Goldilocks zone, just right. And you want it to have exactly the right attributes for your game. And we're also working on some additional enhancements to our game box. The large game box is most popular box we have. In fact, if you added up all of the other box types that we sell, they don't equal the number of sales of those put together, don't equal the large box sales. The large game box is by far the most popular. And one of the things that makes it popular is that it's very customizable. Right now, you can put a sticker on it, you can put two stickers on it, you can put inserts into the box. So we have come up with a few additional enhancements that will allow you to customize it even further. And we think people are going to be pretty excited about those things as well.
Excellent. I always kind of feel bad for you when you hit the chat, man. Every time you hit the chat, it's like just feeding frenzy for JT. That's why I always try not to ask you any questions when you're in chat and just try to be a smartass.
Well, if I was afraid of questions, I wouldn't appear in chat, but you know, people have questions. I do my best to answer them. Sometimes they're not satisfied with those answers, but I still do my best to give them the answers that they're looking for.
Well, JT, unless you got something else you want to share with us, I know you're a busy man and we can let you go.
I really appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to me tonight. And actually, I hope to have some pretty exciting news in the next week or so that's actually all Us Geeks related. So, anyway, I hope that we as a group can release that to your two listeners.
Way to end on a teaser. All right. Thanks a lot for joining us, JT.
Bye-bye.
Take care, man. Game review. More of a game overview or I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to talk about the latest expansion for Dominion. I know we've talked about Dominion in the past, but the Dark Ages expansion has recently come out, and it's getting a lot of play over in this area. So we thought we would just take a look at it and talk about it a little bit. So, Michael, you're the main man for Dark Ages.
All right.
The owner.
Well, I got it for my birthday, and it's like each Dominion expansion, they try to kind of focus on a certain theme, and this one definitely focuses around trashing things and a lot of manipulation of the trash and things of that sort. There's several new card types that are kind of interesting. One of the main things is instead of starting the game with the 7 coppers and 3 estates like normal, you can start with 3 shelters instead. The 3 shelters, one of them is the Necropolis, which is an action card that gives you +2 action. So that one's actually kind of an okay card, especially in a game that doesn't have good action chains. Then you also have a 0 cost victory card. Is that the
0 point? That's
or,
the
zero. That, or is that the great? That's the overgrown estate. Overgrown estate. And when you trash that one, you get +1 card. Then the hovel is if you buy a victory point card, you can trash it.
Yeah.
But it's just a reaction that does nothing else. So it's kind of interesting. It kind of breaks up the game from the old Seven Coppers, Three Estates, gives you a little bit different starting feel to the decks.
I think it's a really good start since you don't start with any victory points, unlike the,
the base game. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, there's no victory points at all. There's a new type of card called Spoils, and they're basically a gold that is one-time use, and you can't buy them, but there are certain cards that will let you take them from the... They're not in the supply from the Spoils spot or whatever, and then once you've used it, it goes back into the pile, so it can't ever like run out or anything. Well, I guess it maybe could run out if people were somehow hoarding them, but that'd be kind of hard to do, I think. And then there's also a new type of card called Ruins. And basically, the Ruins are all action cards, but they're all like really crappy actions, like just plus one money or plus one card or plus one action. Yeah, or
plus one of almost everything. There's a plus one buy.
Plus one buy. Right? Yeah. And there's one that lets you look at the top cards of your deck and either discard them or put them back up on top of your in any order. That one's actually kind of okay.
As far as the Spoils, though, with our five-player game, we came close.
We did come close to that one in the five-player game.
But usually
someone will spend some and get it back.
It's very hard for it to end up actually being the third pile that runs out.
Yeah, well, I don't think it can be the... I don't think it's...
Oh, you think it...
Okay. No, because it's not technically part of the supply.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
But I don't think anyways. And the Ruins, they all are, I believe, cost zero gold, so you can also buy them if you wish, but... Almost never a good idea, I don't think. I mean, maybe with some of the...
There's only a couple cards that would really make having those in your hand worthwhile. Either one of the variety cards or...
Yeah,
one of the...
if you were playing with some cards from, what was the expansion? Cornucopia. So if you had some of those cards, they might be worth it to get different card titles in your deck or something.
Now, for all of our games, just to get ready for this, we played with at least five Dark Age cards.
Yeah, a minimum of five in there. Yep, mix, so... I think they combine well with the other cards, and there's some interesting new ideas too with a card like the Knights, where every card in the deck is actually a different card. They all have an ability that's the same, but then they all have like a different ability. I think they're kind of interesting.
The Knights are my favorite card because, like you say, they all have a trash ability. They all force your opponents to reveal two cards from the top of their deck, and if any of them are between 3 and 6 gold, they got to trash them. But then they all have like a +2 buy, or one of them's worth actually 2 victory points, or +1 card. So they're a good mix. There's a lot of cards in this set that are a good mix of existing cards.
Yeah. The other thing with the Knights, too, is if they trash another Knight, then they die, too.
Yeah, so that's a good offense-defense card.
Yep. Another interesting card is the Rats, because they actually have a bigger pile in the supply than any other decks. I think they get like 20 cards or something. Maybe it's even more than that. I don't know how many for sure. But that one, it's you draw a card and get an action, and then you have to trash something from your hand and you gain another Rats. So unless you have something else to keep the Rat, they're good at like getting rid of crap early, but you also need something to get rid of the Rats eventually, or you'll just get completely overrun with them. So it's an interesting idea, and they're kind of fun to play with.
Sacrifice the Rats on the altar.
Yep. Yeah, if you got something like that. Something they can trash them all, like if you had like Chapel or... Mm-hmm. I was doing it with the Count and that worked out okay. The Count is also a new card that he basically makes you do one of three things that generally probably aren't as good to do one of three things that are good. So that was, he's kind of an interesting card.
Yeah, there are definitely some interesting cards. I really did like this set from what we've played with it. I mean, even things like the Grave Robber, manipulating the trash pile and stuff like that. You guys are right. It's very interesting starting play with really no points in your deck at all.
Yeah.
And kind of working up from here. Like, I won one game with zero points. It's like, yay.
Yeah.
It's hard to feel really good.
You're throwing around a lot of curses and ruins and,
and
just happy to get 0 points.
There's a whole lot of you bastard
this set. Yeah, this is a set that if you get the right mix of cards is can be a very confrontational set. I think more so than... all the sets have a few kind of attack cards, but this one, I think, is really, as you say, you dick.
Yeah.
You're not even aiming it at me. It's just a grenade of dickishness, you know?
Yeah. But why are you putting another one in your deck?
Well, you started it. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like the Witch. You know, there's really benign cards out there, but somebody buys the Witch, so everybody's going to buy a Witch.
Let's see. Anything else we want to discuss about Dark Ages?
if you like Dominion, you should probably have it. It's, I don't know where I'd rate it exactly in the Pantheon, but it's a really fun set. And
I guess it's, for me, other than obviously Androminion, which I played for quite a while and then kind of stopped after I think I got all the achievements.
Yeah.
So I played a lot on that. This set, I don't know, when we were playing it, it kind of, to me, refreshed Dominion quite a bit for mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. It almost felt like when the base Dominion came out. It's like, okay, this game really intrigues me again because of the set yeah. and the different cards that were coming out. So I think it's a really solid set of cards that have come out. Now, yeah, I mean, especially for me, because playing through Androminion and the sets, I know there's a bunch of sets I don't have physically, so I can't say, okay, this yeah. card came from this card came from that. But knowing the cards that we were playing with that were Dark Ages related, this refreshed Dominion to me. I know I'm a few sets behind, but right now, if I was to buy a set, I would buy Dark Ages first and then go back and figure out what I've been missing. That's my opinion on it. That's my feel on it after playing it.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's a really solid set. This is a really good feel to it. Some of the other sets have been kind of, eh.
Talking about Androminion's making me shed a little tear because this will probably never be on.
If it is, we're going to have to get it on the sly.
I know, exactly. Maybe
we can which bugs me it. Because the whole reason was because they're supposedly coming out with the real Dominion, and I haven't heard a word.
Yeah.
I actually searched for it the other day.
Androminion is so good. I'd pay money for it if we were going to just license it out to them.
I bet you it's going to be bells and whistles. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be like Elder Signs. Which is fun, but damn, just eats the battery. Yeah.
Dominion Dark Ages, good set, go get.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Run now.
Yeah, if you already have Dominion, you probably already have it. So, and I think it could be a fun game if you just bought it with the base set cards, and I think you could play it
standalone. Yeah, I think it would be a great standalone.
I think it'd play just fine standalone. So if you don't have Intrigue or the base set, you could just get the base cards and it and play.
Kickstarter. Let's see, we've got 5 things that ended, and I did not add anything new to the list this time. The Keep was unsuccessful. It did not get funded. They got $58,602 when it ended. They were looking for $250,000, so nowhere near.
You know, it's a really good idea, but, you know, I looked at that, and I was like, out their drawers with the lids. Everything's really good components. It's really good design, but people like their games in their boxes.
Prices weren't, I can't remember the prices on them. I didn't really look at this set. I looked at it the first time around. The prices were pretty high.
This time they were, but I didn't think they were too bad. Yeah.
For what you're getting.
Yeah.
Since
I mean, there's good plastic in some of that stuff. Yeah. And
because the outside used to all be hard plastic too. Mm-hmm. And that's where the price got jacked up. It's a good idea. We'll see what they do in the future. But this is their second Kickstarter that unfortunately they did not get funded. Salem, on the other hand, did get funded 112%. They got $33,812. This Film Hates You was funded with 101%. So they got $8,261. Castle Dice was successful at 135%. They got $44,581. And Game Grids was unsuccessful. They only got $13,916 when it ended, and they were looking for $34,600. Still open, You Are the Maniac, 150% funded. They're at $22,614 with 7 days left. Nothing Personal. Again, that's the Tom Vassell, Steve Avery. That's who I couldn't remember last time. Tom Vassell and Steve Avery, it's 189% funded, $56,710 with 14 days left. Sentinels of the Multiverse, Shattered Timelines, took a huge jump, 323% funded. They're at $64,637 with 22 days left. And Martin Wallace's Munga Invaders is 101% funded with $40,729 and 23 days left. And Dungeon Heroes from Crash Games is currently at 85% funded. They've got $12,819. They're looking for $15,000, and they've got 26 days left. And that is what I have for Kickstarter. Anybody else looking at anything?
I kind of came across it accidentally, and we've talked about people trying to kickstart cons before, so I figured I'll just mention this one for all our listeners in the Cincinnati area. There's a dude out there, or a group of people that are trying to kickstart a Comic-Con in Cincinnati. If it's successful, they've actually got some good talent lined up for it, barring, you know, changes in their schedules, of course. But like Steve Niles and Ben Templesmith, 30 Days a Night, and some other writers and artists. So I'm just throwing it out there. I'll send you the link for the show notes. Yeah. I forgot to send it to you. But, you know, we've talked about the uniqueness of trying to kickstart a con. So I just throw it out there.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do. Well, it's hard to do if you don't put the time in it. I know the two that I specifically followed to see what they did, they put no time into it. And they, of course, they both failed.
Mm-hmm.
I heard, who was, oh, Don told us. Wasn't it when Don was on, he told us about one that was successful?
Yep.
Anything you're checking out, Michael? Still just getting the Dark Zoe updates?
Yeah, just waiting for Dark Zoe to come.
All right, so that's Kickstarter. All right, so it's time for Geek
News.
All right, what do you got, Jordan?
DC is pissing off comic collectors everywhere, and retailers as well. They got the new JLA title that's starting in January, Actual Justice League of America, not just a JLA. It's an actual JL of A again. And they're going to have the core cover and 52 variants. They're doing a variant themed for each state, Puerto Rico, and the District of Columbia. They have a variety of rationales behind this, you know.
Money.
They won't admit it, but yeah, it's, you know, you always got to ramp up your purchases, your orders, if you're going to be the store that gets the variants, the 1 in 10, 1 in 20, 1 in 50, 1 in 200. They're actually starting to get a lot of pushback. Now, I've always thought variants were a bit of a scam and kind of a douchey thing for the comic companies to do. So I guess DC figured, let's just see how much pain we can inflict. Let's
take a time warp back to the 90s.
And they're actually doing 52, and hopefully they'll change their mind on that. I mean, I'm not going to buy any anyway, because actually, I will say I'm kind of interested in the new lineup, but as far as anybody going out to buy all 53 covers, you're stupid. You're stupid for thinking of doing it, and DC's stupid for doing it.
But you never know which one's going to be the most collectible one.
None of them. 10 minutes after it's put in a slab and graded 10, nobody's going to care.
Our big news from last one, which was the Disney buying Lucas. You guys see that he's donating all of it to education?
Only $4 billion of it.
Oh, yeah, a good chunk of it.
Keeping that $500 million for himself.
No, it was 0.05.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, so.
Well, the follow-up rumor to that I saw was now, and I would be totally amused if this happened. Of course, I'd also wonder where they're getting the money, is that Disney is rumored to be in talks with Hasbro now to purchase Hasbro outright.
Yeah, I saw that rumor too.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's any credence
to that. I label that strongly rumor.
Now they're just going to buy everything. They're like, oh.
It's like, are they just trying to corner the whole Star Wars franchise? We make the money, we make the movies, and we make the action figures.
How many things can we grab for $4 billion?
That's right.
$4 billion.
Just throwing $4 billion around everywhere.
Got me Marvel, got me Star Wars. I got an extra $4 billion.
Give me a little something.
Yeah.
You don't even have to give me $4 billion. You owe me for some of those Transformers movies anyway, Hasbro.
They peaked at the animated movie in like 86.
That's all we got for...
Well, we should say Flux is coming to the iOS.
No, we don't have.
Well, actually, it's been said, so I guess
I don't mind
did.
Flux. I mean, yeah.
No, it's an okay game, but it's one of those games where it can be done in one turn, or it can take 5 million. I like the idea of the rules changing, and when I was first getting into games, it was a neat, new, interesting concept.
I think it's one of the first ones that I got Megan to play, and that she started taking the like little things that she would go to. Like, I think she's
Well, it's great. You can throw it in a bag really easy or whatever.
Well, see, for those type of games, I prefer we didn't play test this, because that really generally only does last 5 turns before everybody's out. You know, but it's got all the same.
Yeah, it's a similar style game, but agreed.
So it's coming to the iOS, no Android.
iOS. No word on Android.
We are the redheaded stepchildren.
Getting
again.
Shaft.
Are any three of us really heartbroken on this?
No.
I'm not.
I don't know. I'd kill time maybe with Flux on my phone. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Be kind of a weird one for AI, you think? It's just like, because there really is nothing.
Yeah. Just they had to be easy because a lot of times you have no choices on your turn. Oh, I have to play all. Okay. I guess it's the order you play them, but
yeah.
Sometimes I can cause a win or a loss.
Yeah, I'd do that. Better than Song Pop or some crap like that.
Whatever, Song Pop's awesome. I got to turn right now.
Yeah, I get to hear that all the time now.
Oh, Megan's playing it too. Yeah.
But at least she's, you know,
I won all my games
posting
last week.
It to Facebook. You know, I think I did that the other day. I looked over and it was like activity from like you and Kate. Yeah. And it was just like song pop, song pop, song pop, all the way down the page.
Yeah. We do some epic battles.
All right. So is that all we have for Geek News?
I think so.
I think we're good. All right. So that is Geek News.
Crappy news cycle.
I've got a few things here for horror headlines. Nothing major, though. I mean, if you follow the Two Bald Geeks Facebook page, you'll see most of the trailers that I'm going to talk about. So that's where I tend to post them. So, let's see. One of the things I posted today was the Sharknado. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
I saw a picture of that.
Yeah. Sharknado is looking for, basically looking to be made or distributed, I think. Can't remember if it's already been made or not. Yeah, a hurricane comes through and floods, and then a tornado picks up a bunch of sharks. Sharknado, so awesome! Sorry,
move along.
Let's see, Love Bite is like a UK horror comedy for werewolves. That trailer is posted on Two Bald Geeks, and then you see the Zombies of Oz. I posted today?
No, I haven't been online much today.
You bastard.
I gotta be me.
Yeah. I don't even want to talk about work.
He can't help it.
Zombies of Oz is out of the Vancouver Film School, so some students did it, but it's basically a real quick short of Dorothy and the lion taking the Wizard of Oz into a zombie-type setting. It was all right. It was kind of cool. And then I posted the trailer for the remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Nice.
So Silent Night was posted today.
I'll have to go check that
actually
out.
Looks pretty good. I didn't know Malcolm McDowell was in it.
Well, he makes any movie better.
Malcolm McDowell, my opponent?
No, McDowell.
Dowell.
Dowell.
I thought you said McDonald.
No. So those are the trailers I posted today. And then the only other thing I had was, because we've talked about this before.
Hocus Pocus?
Yeah, Hocus Pocus. That'll be... that movie, we're having a film burning soon. No, we talked about how we wanted... I talked about how I wanted to actually see some momentum instead of hearing about how this is always changing or somebody's pissed off about it. But World War Z, Entertainment Weekly, I think this Thursday, is supposed to have actual footage from the movie. So we should hopefully be seeing clips and trailers online here soon.
Yeah, I think it was IO9 said that the stuff was out there and it's going to be made available.
So, momentum.
Yes.
World War Z is coming, and as far as I know, nobody's still complaining about it. What are you doing?
I was showing him the Sharknado picture.
Oh, Sharknado picture. And that is what I have for horror headlines. What we're watching. Michael, what are you watching?
Oh, not a whole lot. Finished up Sons of Anarchy, so, well, to the current season that's being aired right now.
So are you guys going to try to do on-demand for that, or are you going to wait?
Well, I looked, and it looked like they only had, like, the last three episodes, so.
So as soon as that comes out next time, we'll get it to you right away.
There you
go. That way, because it usually comes out a little before the season starts.
Yeah, it might be on, like, Netflix or something. I mean, it is on Netflix Watch, too, so it might come out on that soon, too. I don't know. I should check and see. They might even have some episodes up already.
Okay. So what do you think? Season 4 is a pretty good season, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty solid. It's still a pretty compelling show. It'll be interesting to see where they go or where they're at right now, I guess.
This season is a pain in the ass. It's an interesting season so far.
I heard it's pretty gritty.
Yeah.
Kate got something spoiled already, so I don't know what that was. So.
Oh, I do. You got anything?
Yeah, actually. The usual stuff, Walking Dead, Castle, and Grimm. We had a little Grimm marathon last week, actually. We had three or four eps on the DVR, and we blew through those. So that was good. Watched most of the DVDs you lent me. Really enjoyed Bait. That was really good.
Yeah.
And then the gamers.
Must have been. You didn't bring that one back.
Didn't I?
No, it was the gamers and stuff.
Okay. Well, Thursday then.
He's keeping it forever.
Yeah.
You got 622. You'll never notice until you look at the spreadsheet.
630 now.
Oh, yes. Tuesday. It's Tuesday. Things have come out. And then really enjoyed the fellowship. No, not the fellowship. The Cthulhu.
The Cthulhu one?
Yeah.
Is it the last relic
yeah.
of Cthulhu or something like that?
Like that. Yeah. That was funny. Fellowship of the Dice was just horrible, though. We stopped that after 15 minutes.
Really?
That was
you didn't get through it?
No.
Did you watch the original, though? Or you had already seen that one, you said, the gamers?
It's a different gamers. It's not the gamers that I've seen is right. just that's gamers.
Right.
And it's totally different thing.
Right.
But this one was just as enjoyable. And then on the weekend, we went to see the second Silent Hill movie, which, if you like the first one, it's just more of the same. And I did, so I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was a good visual movie at the very least, the first one.
Sean Bean.
Dies?
Yeah, because he's Sean Bean. He dies twice in this movie.
Spoiler. But that was a spoiler if you saw him in the credits.
Yes. He's in a movie. He dies. Yeah, I like that. So it was more of the same. So it was enjoyable. I mean, it's got a good atmosphere in both the movies. You know, they really do the whole survival horror with the flashlight pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And from watching, I'm pretty sure that's it. It's the highlights.
Okay. Finally watched the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Finally busted that out and watched it. And then we had a little tug of war going on about somebody picking something to watch. So I finally walked in the back room and we watched the first two episodes of The Wire. So I got the ball rolling on that. And I don't know when we're going to be able to continue on that, but we left it out in the living room to make sure we keep going.
To glare at you.
Yeah. And yeah, of course, The Walking Dead. And wow. I almost wish this was a special episode.
It's...
Yeah, I've been watching that too. They definitely handled stuff a lot different than the comic there. A lot different.
I'll just say I'm not keen on Morrissey.
Really? You don't like him as the governor?
No. Does nothing for me. Totally wrong.
He's okay, but yeah.
Maybe when we get to if they do the gritty governor stuff. Gritty. The really disgusting governor stuff, and he really pulls that off, then maybe.
The fish tank scene.
Yeah.
That's pretty gross.
It's gross.
I thought that was kind of cool, though.
Yeah, it's not as gritty as he gets.
Not as a complaint, but I guess it is, since I'm going to complain. the governor's town is really not how I took it from the comic.
Right. It's like this. It's like
the town they
find later. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah, that's the part that's bothering me right now, because
it was more Mad Max.
Right.
Yeah. And, it was like an old West town.
Right. And Megan asks, she's like, they're not going to, you don't think they're going to do.
Saying it's the same thing?
Well, no. I'm saying that they're not.
Going to try to roll this
before they showed it, before they got to the town, before they showed Woodbury, Megan was like, oh, you don't think they're going to do like the fights and stuff? I said, oh, yeah, why not? And they haven't. And that kind of bothers me now.
Yeah, I know, it's all very clean cut. We haven't seen the seedy underside yet. I wanted zombie fights. Well,
the soldier people are kind of, I think, but they keep it underground, it seems like, I guess. Yeah. So, I don't know.
But that bothers me right now, so far. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we got 10 eps left, so maybe we'll get something good, but, you know, I want zombie fights and I want his daughter.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that.
Careful.
Perv.
Exactly. All right, so that's all for what we're watching. What we're reading. I'm at 86% on Hex Communicated. I thought I'd be done by now, but I took a couple days.
If it's a George R. R. Martin book, you would be.
That's true. But I'm close. So I figure by the end of the week for sure, depending on how much reading I get. But it's the popcorn read. It's pretty decent. Towards the part I'm in now, you can see every once in a while you come into some really bad editing parts where like words that don't, they're usually like small words, you know, like or an I or the that are in the wrong place kind of thing. I don't know if that's from making it into an electronic format or if it was really just that bad of editing, but it's not taking away from the overall story.
I think it's something to do with the transcription to electronic, because I've seen that in a couple of my Kindle books, too.
So I've run into that a few times now that I'm this far in, but the whole story and the whole Black Ops super soldier, you know, vampires and or synthetically made vampires and all that kind of stuff is still pretty decent. There's towards the end, they were still kind of introducing new types of Fae from time to time. So that's it's kind of cool. Like I said, it's a decent little popcorn read. So still enjoying it. Michael?
I'm still reading God King. It's, I don't know, I'm getting somewhat close to the end, I guess. But right now, the undead are still sweeping through the Empire. So eventually, I'm sure Sigmar will lead them to a win. So but
still not a lot of Sigmar in it?
No, still not been a lot of Sigmar in it. It's just mostly been raping and pillaging of different areas. Wolfgart's been in it a decent bit now. But yeah, I imagine here pretty soon they'll be pushing back the undead and taking back the Empire. And then ascending to godhood, I guess. So we'll see.
Jordan?
Spoiler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, spoiler.
What do you got?
Spoilers in the title. God King.
Might not be Sigmar.
Yeah.
Could be the dude before. That's only been a week, so I haven't actually finished anything. I'm still listening to Monster Hunter Legion as I paint up my circle. Well, I really should be playing Legion of Everblight if I'm listening to Monster Hunter Legion.
There you go.
I guess. No, I've been working on my circle, and I've been listening to that, and that's a really good book. I mean, I really like this whole series, and the fourth book now is back to the main from the first two books. It's back onto Owen, but it's good. It's taking place in Vegas, which you'd think I'd hate, but it's been surprisingly good. There's a big buffet battle royal right at the beginning of the book. These books are really funny. The guy has a really great way of doing dialogue. I would say he verges on Joss Whedon dialogue.
Ooh.
And then on the actual reading side, I'm still on Before They're Hanged by Joe Abercrombie. I'm about, I don't know, halfway through that. But I've been spending more time on the audiobook, so I'm not making as much headway on the paper book. And that's what I got there. Oh, I picked up Trade 16 for The Walking Dead. So when I'm done that, I guess I can make the rounds here too. I'm through the first issue of that.
What we're playing. Jordan, you got anything?
Well, we've been playing a lot of Dominion Dark Ages, apparently.
Yeah.
Good game.
And I've been doing a lot of Courier still on Vassal. And I gave up on Medal of Honor. Just a bad game. Don't buy it, folks. Don't rent it. Don't trade for it. Nothing. And then just still doing a little bit of Temple Run and a little Endermanion on the phone. Nothing too hardcore.
Michael?
Got the game day coming up on Saturday.
You got anything, Michael?
Mostly just the Dark Ages too. Yeah, it's really like the main thing, I guess.
Some XCOM? Get back.
I really
XCOM
haven't been
yet?
Playing no. much XCOM lately now that Kate's back. So oh, yeah.
You haven't tested it out on the laptop yet?
No. Oh, I should at least do that, but I don't know, been busy and stuff. I got a couple more painting commissions I've been doing and stuff, so
I haven't started.
Got some nice mystics. I got some little British bobbies and a like Jack the Ripper type guide that I'm painting for some guys Scotland Yard, so it's kind of cool.
Let's see, for me, board game wise, nothing really. I mean, played some Dark Ages. Ditto. Did fire up my console for Borderlands 2, though. That's what I'm playing right now. It's addicting as hell.
It looks fun.
It's awesome, and it sucks when you suck at first-person shooters, but the game is so compelling that you don't care. So die, 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 die. Go run back in, die. And the thing that really sucks is they have these like regeneration stations. That's where you're going to regenerate at. So whichever one you passed or what close to, that's close to where you died. But it's by the company that you're fighting against, kind of. Mm. So it's like they own it because it's a big corporation kind of thing. But it always mocks you when it regenerates you, too. So it's like, we're sure none of that was your fault and all that, you know, just kind of. We're sure whatever just killed you was a total dick, unless it was yourself, unless you just committed suicide or just all kinds of, but it also costs money. You know? So if you're like me and you die a lot, you start seeing your money kind of go away. It's like, cha-ching, cha-ching. I don't know. It's a percentage or something. Anyway, but it is a super fun. Did you ever play the first one at all?
No, it looked fun, but yeah.
First one was awesome, except for the ending. And they even kind of talk about
it. There was no ending. They just truncated it and made the ending DLC.
Yeah. No, there was an ending. It was just a dumb ending.
Well, there was an ending.
But they start, too, talking about that, and they actually get to a part where they say something along, And it was just a crappy ending or something like that. Or everybody hated the end or something like that.
Hey, look,
that.
Two aliens. What? And the game's over?
Oh, it's like, here's tentacles.
Yeah.
Tentacle porn. But the beginning story, though, they talk about it. It's kind of funny. And, of course, Claptrap's back. He's always awesome. That game is addicting, though. It's always like, one more mission. One more mission. I did that the other night. I was trying to play through one more mission because Megan came out or came home or something or stopped doing whatever she was doing. And the damn thing would not end. It's like, I just want to get to the end of this.
You said one more mission.
Because if I stop now, I got to start all over. So that's what I'm playing right now. And Cut the Rope Experiments. I finally started playing around on that one a lot more. So I think that wraps it up for us, guys. So I'm Jeff King.
I'm Michael Jordal.
And I'm the Canadian.
Thanks for listening.
I've got 100,000 comics carefully collected, and all the action figures for them carefully selected. The posters and promotions for each superhero movie, my ringtones, Frankenfurter, and Ash saying, I've got each permutation of the Xbox and PlayStation. My anime collection is the finest in the nation.